The Illuminati, and by that I mean the shadowy people you never see that pull the strings of the Bushes and the Blairs and all the rest of it, they have known for a long time that this is coming. And what they've sought to do, and this is part of their panic now, is to do everything they can to suppress this awakening. It's no accident that it's now that they're trying to throw everything at us. They want the microchip, that's the jewel in the crown of what they want to do to bring about this suppression of the awakening. And they want a fascist global structure of imposition to stop it also. But in terms of young people, of course, they have to be prevented from becoming open, sharp-witted adults. So attack them from the start. And if you look at the additives to food, the additives to water, mobile phone frequencies and all the rest of it, they have a single common theme, and that is they are what's known as excitotoxins. They change the nature of the messages being passed around the brain. They rewire the brain chemically and electrically, and they're trying to attack children and young people on every level so that they don't turn into sharp-witted, knowledgeable, vibrant adults, which is the last thing they want. They want zombies.
Right. They're teaching
when you see the stuff that is being consumed by children in a day and what it's doing to their capacity to think straight, it's just staggering.
Yeah, well, it's chemically euthanizing their intellect is what it's doing.
Yeah, it's suppressing their ability to be the full magnitude and potential of what they could be.
On top of that, they're all being taught to be part of the hive, the group, not the individual anymore. And many of them are actually, because of peer pressure, afraid to achieve because they don't want to be put down by their buddies who are not achieving. So you've got this, again, terribly vicious negative self-enforcement ethic that that runs right through the whole culture of being young.
Yeah, and the young people today are probably under an assault greater than ever before.
They don't have a chance, David. I agree.
It's no accident that if you chart back to when these additives started being put in food and drink and everything, you pick up the graph rising in childhood behavior problems. I mean, the two go together, and they're meant to go together because of what we're talking about. They want to stop the population being intelligent enough, sharp enough, and vibrant enough to see through what's going on and make them compliant adults by making them compliant children, by bringing them up to be compliant from the start.
Everybody quiet. All right.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, July 21st, 2005. And you guessed it, this is Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. And the more who stand with us, the less the core political tyranny will be able to stand against us. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my said live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Just like, well, you know, I wonder how many underscorings there is in my name anyway. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio 306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. Let me try that again. OspreyRadio.info and Extreme Radio Tampa. For some reason, I've been stumbling over the radio stations in the last couple of programs, and I don't know why. Must be the mind control chip. You are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. Think of new ways to send them out to people. Attach them to balloons. Little CDs tied to four or five balloons, and then let the balloon go, and it sails up into the sky to be distributed by the winds of server. Let's get straight into some feedback. Got a whole Jimmy Whack of feedback coming at you. And just how much is a Jimmy Whack, I don't know. But, you know, hey, I don't care. Isn't that what that song goes? Jimmy Whack some porn and I don't care? I don't know. Feedback. Hey, Sean. You know what I find most interesting about the timing of the London bombing? The fact it happened when so many negative things were happening for the president. Let's recap on what happened right around that day. The G8 was happening on that very day. The Olympics announced London would host the 2012 Games. Karl Rove happened around that day. The American opinion of war has the lowest approval rating of all time. Supreme Court turnovers happened that day. Well, look at that. Look how the news was just completely overturned. And that's from It Fungus. Now, there's a couple things as well that I've noticed about this particular London bombing thing. For one thing, when the 9/11 attacks were scheduled to happen, they were doing exercises at the same time for exactly the 9/11 attacks. And again, in London, there was exercises going on with the military slated for the same time the London bombings went off. Isn't it funny how they had all the military ready to go just in time for the bombing, getting rid of the reason to pretend to have, you know, they don't need a reason to be ready because obviously they were getting ready for an exercise for exactly the same thing that happened in real life. And aren't they just so smart and so intelligent to be training for an event that actually happened? Well, it looks pretty obvious to me that Britain is getting dirtier by the moment regarding this London bombing, and I can't say as I like it very much. Now, moving right along, dear Mr. Kennedy, after hearing the reports on the Christian exodus towards South Carolina, this was the Mud City story I ran the other day, I've become slightly worried. I'm currently spreading the information that you and the entire Rant Media, networks, among others, and my own, are giving. However, I feel that it's not nearly enough to protect myself from the massive influx of Bible thumpers. Okay, you got to be careful with this train of thought here, but I'll finish this later. Should I hope that they will leave me alone and not be like Jehovah's Witnesses, harass everyone they come into contact with? Perhaps a large pentagram shield would help fend off the oncoming Bibles and the like. Not that I personally believe in that dribble. Should I get the hell out while I still can before they begin replacing standard education with Sunday school type learning or banning anything that doesn't seem to fit with their views like their own? This is becoming an ever more attractive idea. Leaving. I should be one of the few in the state who don't fall into the trap of the collection place and fight it out. Yeah, that's the other idea, is to stick around and actually fight against this. This seems to be an unwinnable plan of action, though I might enjoy it before they brainwash me in a Scientologist fashion. On the plus side, we may get tax cuts and governmental assistance, anything we want being a Bible-hurling Christian state and all. Hey, I may end up in Canada with you guys if the shit really hits the fan. Any ideas on how to win a losing war or just hold down the fort? Thanks, I really enjoy and respect your work. Sim, and the entire group do. Thank you so much. And yes, please remember that there is a huge and long line of people behind me who are, well, not necessarily behind me, who are with me doing this broadcast. We got Smokehouse, you got Sumerian, you've got all the crew out there, all the other DJs and all the other stations. And plus, there's the people who are part of Rant Media because nobody's getting paid. So all the flying monkeys are just as much as part of Rant Media. You yourself are part of Rant Media because we are a community. Now, getting back to your statement here. Now, you wanted some advice. Maybe this should have been in your sort yourself out section, but whatever. I'll just mix it up a bit here. Now, Christians are not bad people. Let's make this painfully fucking clear, okay? Maybe a couple thousand years ago, you know, when they were all, you know, burning Christian or burning witches and all that kind of stuff. And really, we don't have a lot of evidence to show that a lot of these people weren't really possessed by the devil. So maybe they were doing a good thing. Well, okay, I'm going to get a lot of bad email on that. All right, a bad joke. But still, Christians, on the whole, are pretty decent people. I should know. I'm married into a family of them. And you know what? You know what? At the end of the day, what are they really about? They're about their family. They want to make sure their kids don't grow up watching porn. They want to make sure their kids are okay. They want to protect their children. So what a lot of these you know, focus on the family Christian fundamentalist types do is they capitalize on parental fear. They create fear within the parent's mind in order to create a need. Once you have fear, then there, it's basically Christian, these Christian fundamentalists use a very mild form of terrorism to invent enemies so that these families feel that they have to protect their children, so on and so forth. And then this creates an us and them mentality, and they become a market which is easily manipulable. So I'm not even sure manipulable is a real word. But anyway, never stopped me before. To be honest, when it comes to this kind of thing, when you think, oh my gosh, you know, these Christians are coming to town. Well, you know, if you decide to stay, which I think you should, I don't think there's any problem with having a bunch of Christians in your neighborhood, provided they don't get uppity. You know, and by uppity, I mean they don't show up at your house because you happen to be playing video games and decide to burn your house down. Now, what I would say to you is do not approach these people with any kind of venom. As a matter of fact, I would probably start now because you know that there's an exodus coming in. You should probably, this is an outstanding example. You could go to all the local church, right? Churches. Put on some nice clothes, go to all the local churches and say, hey, you know what? I heard about this Christian exodus that's happening. I'm not a Christian, but I really agree with it, and I think it's a great idea, and I'd like to help welcome some of these people into town. And all the different preachers and types will go, wow, that's great. Thanks so much. What would you like to do? Well, you know, if you'd let me know, I'd like to, you know, maybe have some sort of a welcoming thing set up or whatever. And then when they all show up, you hand them all a CD of Newsreel. And then we get a whole bunch of new converts. Hooray! Why not? Works for the J-Dubs. It can work for us. Okay, maybe that's a bit manipulative. Let's try this one then. Don't be mad at them just because they don't happen to believe what you want to believe. What you want to do is just quietly state your case and move forward. If they begin attacking you in your house and shit like that, then yeah, throw a pentagram up on your front door. That'll keep them the fuck back for sure. And beyond that, you know, prepare to be shunned and cut off from the rest of Christian society, which, you know, is no great loss anyway, and I guess that means you get to buy all the good albums. Now, oh, and that was all from Zine Twin, and he put on the end of that, hurry up in the new season of Patrolling, fuck you, wait. Okay, dear Sean, these stories are supposed to convince people, convince you and I, that this is in regards, again, to the London bombing, so I'm getting a lot of really angry email about this. Dear Sean, these stories are supposed to convince people, convince you and I, that four men killed themselves to detonate small amounts of explosives for personal cause. Plausible, but unlikely. What happened to the terrorist organization that was taking credit? How come it's not mentioned anywhere in the news anymore? Where's the Al-Qaeda links? Guess this wasn't a terrorist operation now, was it? Interesting point. If you go to the BBC, there is a total of one picture of one of the four men with the backpack on. Now, there are some other photos I've seen of some guys standing together. Or maybe I haven't. Interesting. I can't really remember how many photos I've seen, but we should see how many photos we can get of these guys. If you go to the BBC One, there's a total of one picture of one of the four men with the backpack on. I know that in downtown Seattle, it's not uncommon for people to be seen walking with backpacks on, especially those people who are traveling or homeless. And I thought the UK and USA were similar in that regard. So right off, I'm not convinced by any evidence that I have to take the official release words of the explanation as fact. There is no credible evidence presented to the public. Well, I quit taking news at face value when I came back from my first war. This line of suspect A leads to connection B, who's a relative of the person of interest of Triple C, who once took a chemistry class with Professor X. What the fuck is all this BS? Do you remember the series of events that followed September 11th in the USA? Pastor so-and-so on flight such-and-such took a flight school where someone was related to the guy in the Middle East, so that's who done it. It's all smokescreen. But the screen is working. I don't know what is being screened. At least I know there is smoke, which is more than most people can say. So the story says they must have been outside help. Someone calling the shots. The authorities are trying to track down that suspect. Even if those four men on the buses did detonate bombs for backpacks as opposed to the possibility of the bombs they were planted with timers, why should I not suspect the UK government, or a foreign government for that matter, for being the outside help calling the shots? Isn't it so sad how incredibly fucking viciously cynical we are all becoming, I would like to add as a note? All I know is that there is smokescreen. I concur, there is smokescreen. I know from military experience you don't pop smoke unless you're screening something. The question is, what force is moving to where behind the smoke? This is highly important information. Please put some effort into helping figure out the truth here. I lack the skills to figure it out on my own. Semper Fi, and that was from Falwear. Well, Falwear, you know, from one soldier to another, buddy, I got to say, yeah, I'd have to agree with you. Some shit is not adding up. The way all this is kind of like so many similarities to 9/11, it's not even funny. Granted, there's not the death toll. But the number one reason why I think this thing was not really formulated all that well, the reason why I think it's suspect, you know, they haven't got anything that's as glaring as the 9/11 attacks, where, you know, the entire Pentagon strike is completely fictitious. Also, the laws of physics, you know, the 9/11 towers falling should actually be listed as a physical anomaly, because there's about as much chance as a wormhole appearing in my fucking studio than there is of a building made of concrete and steel collapsing because you spilled some gasoline on it. But I won't go into that right off the top, because my head will actually explode. Now, what I seem to think is the number one reason why I go, this whole terrorist thing in London doesn't seem to spin right. There's only 50 people dead. That's it. Now, this is the third train bombing, right? I mean, we had Spain. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, I lie. Yeah, third. Yeah, you got your Japanese cult there pumping gas into the Japanese subways, right? Killing a shitload of people. You got the subway bombing in Spain. Major fucking strike. Major strike. Lots of people dead. London, 50 fucking people. 50 fucking people, and the Israeli minister gets a phone call telling them not to go to a hotel by where all these buses are going at that same time. Isn't that convenient? How did he get that phone call? Well, obviously, he got the phone call because somebody had prior knowledge. If somebody has prior knowledge, that means one of two things. A, they're either responsible to it, or B, they had knowledge of it and did nothing, therefore making them responsible for it. Knowledge bears responsibility. If Israel knew that there was a bomb going off, they sure as fuck had to said something. Or, you know, you're an assistant to a bomb going off. If I know someone's getting killed, right, and I don't do shit about it, that makes me an accessory. So either Israel comes clean with how the fuck they knew that a bomb was going to go off in London, or we say, oh, maybe all this terrorism's coming from Israel, and watch what happens when somebody says some shit like that. I don't really know what the deal is with the London bombings. I don't claim to know. I do know they're trying to pass some heavy legislation over there, and people are getting really uppity. So maybe they need to give them a bit of a scare to show them, yes, the big bad terrorists are still out there. Perhaps. We will see as the options unfold. But I'm here to tell you, the official story in London is looking pretty shitty. Dear Sean, I always get pissed whenever someone says something along the lines of, if we are doing anything wrong, then you have nothing to hide. And that's in regards to my statement I made the other day about the cameras. I thought maybe it's not such a bad idea. My response to these people, back to the letter here, my response to these people is usually something along the lines of, do you have curtains in your house? Yeah. Okay. Why? Well, this usually results in the blue screen of death, but I'd like to think they will get it later. Yeah, you know, come to think of it, that's right. I have big curtains in my house. Why I like to be, well, I like being private. I'm a private person. I don't like broadcasting everything I do all the time because I broadcast most of what I do all the time. So, you know, realistically, Rip Drive, he's the guy who sent this in, I'd have to agree with you. I can't really say why it's important. I'd like to know why privacy is important and why young people should be concerned by it. So if some people want to send in, you know, a couple paragraphs telling me why they think their privacy is important, something succinct, something I can read out, let me know. I want to hear it. Newsreel@rantradio.com. Dear Sean, your recent bit on Al-Qaeda smuggling in nuclear weapons to be detonated in American cities turned my hair gray as you read it. Yeah, it's pretty fucking, pretty scary shit. After reading the same story with my own eyes, I was ready to hotwire the nearest motorbike and head north, praying the bombs didn't go off before I hit the border, assuming I wasn't paralyzed with fear as I was at the time. The article claims the goal is to kill 4 million, 2 million of which must be children. The number of bombs supposedly smuggled in already is enough to make Hiroshima look like a loud fart. That doesn't even begin to include the fallout, which in Japan took half as many lives as the blast did. To add, the fear of this approaching attack is the fear of what's going to happen afterwards. How is America going to respond? I don't think smart bombs are going to cut it after something like that. Assuming we knew exactly when, where, and who to hit, any appropriate response could trigger a full-scale global nuclear war, assuming the initial attacks didn't already start one. I could literally go on for hours about the possibilities after such a disaster, and some of them lead to the extinction of the entire human race. Does anyone have the balls to initiate something like this? And over what? wounded pride? Please spend some more time discussing the subject, as I'm sure I'm not the only listener shitting his pants over all of this. Your loyal log, Darth Alinacius. Alcinous. Alcinous? Darth Alcinous. Probably getting that right. Sorry about the name. Fuck up. All right. Now, on these bombs. Now, there's a couple different schools of thoughts. One, this could all be a big bunch of FUD. To keep everyone terrified, you know, living under the shadow of the mushroom cloud so that we, you know, can try to, you know, allow our government to do all the necessary security measures. That's all possible. That is possible, I suppose, that this is all FUD. Now, the flip side to this is, why would the Muslim, you know, Islamofascists do this? Well, you got to bear in mind these mudhut ignorant savages, who are the Islamofascists, these fundamentalist psychos, seem to be of the opinion that technology is bad. These are the same kind of crew that don't think women should have rights and things like this. So the concept of nuking the planet to bring everyone back to the Stone Age, which puts them in their own sort of mindset, is probably a good idea to these guys. There's nothing they'd like better than to ride camels through America, as it's a massive desert wasteland, because it'll be just like home. None of these guys want any kind of technology or civilization or any of that to go forwards, because The Rock doesn't want them to. That's right, all their mullahs and Islamofascist psychos and Colin Fatwas and whatever the fuck else it is that these nuts do. You know, I think that if they get nukes inside the country and they let them go, the next thing that's going to happen is Mecca's going to get dusted right off the top. And they're going to use that as the reason to extinguish the entire Muslim flame. And one fell swoop. Who's being really quiet about this? Who's not getting heavily bombed? You know what I'm saying? These are questions I ask. America and Israel are in bed together. Okay? Everybody knows America and Israel are thick as fucking thieves. Now America and Britain and Israel are all getting together in one nice little shiny happy ball. So it stands to reason that if you could shut the fuck up and get these Muslims out of the Holy Land, things would be a lot easier. So we put some bunker busters in, we shatter up Mecca, we take out the whole region, hand it over to whoever in the Middle East, we have peace in the Middle East, we get rid of the Islamofascists, and, you know, peace overall is declared. Of course, bear in mind that this whole story about nukes being smuggled into the United States could be a big dupe to make people so that the American government thinks they got nukes in there, and maybe they think that'll be a deterrent. Because after all, isn't that the same deterrent that the Russians used to keep America from nuking? So if all the terrorists believe that we've got nukes in America, and Americans know they got nukes in America, maybe they won't launch. I mean, that's, you know, mutually assured destruction. This is the whole concept that they're trying to go with here. A little scary, I know, but it could all be bullshit. And how does this change between an asteroid strike striking the planet at any point in time and destroying us all? It doesn't. So what you got to do is don't die, you know, quivering in a hole somewhere. Make sure you die running. That's all you can do. Try as hard as you can for as long as you can, and make sure you die tired. That's how I feel about it. Anyway, on to the news. In Netrunner news, sent to me by Deadcode, a bill before Canada's Parliament could make it illegal for search engines to cache web pages, critics say, opening a door to unwarranted lawsuits and potentially hindering public access to information. Interesting. The legislation in question, Bill C-60, this is the same bill that's really pissing me off, is designed to amend Canada's Copyright Act by implementing parts of the 1996 World Intellectual Property Organization Treaty, a treaty that led to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act in the United States. Set for debate in an initial vote in the House of Commons after Parliament's summer break. Summer break for fucking Parliament. Like these guys need a summer break. Bill C-60 addresses things such as file sharing, anti-copying devices, and the liability of internet service providers, and would tighten the Copyright Act in ways favorable to record labels and movie studios. But according to Howard Knopf, a copyright attorney from the Ottawa firm of McNara and Giznarna, from MacGiz, a brief passage of the bill could mean trouble for search engine and other companies that archive or cache web content. The way it reads, arguably, that we're saying is that the very act of making a reproduction by way of caching is illegal, is what Buddy said. Michael Grist, a law professor at the University of Ottawa, where he holds a Canadian research chair in internet and e-commerce law, also agreed with the dude. Anyone with content on the web could sue. Wow, there's a statement to put. That's a complete quote. Anyone with content on the web could sue. Anyone caching content on the internet could be sued, said Grist, who wrote about the perils with C60 when it was first introduced. Somebody with an axe to grind or business competitors could start using the system to try to get content removed. The bill provides no deterrent for making false copyright infringement claims, he said. Such copyright issues remain a hot topic in the United States, where search engines have found themselves subjected to a litany of infringement complaints, particularly as they expand the types of content they make searchable on the web. Now, when we look at this, what is happening here? They're trying to destroy the efficiency of search engines. But very soon we're going to have, well, AIs out there like, what's it called, Scrabble or something like that, where you put it in Firefox, it finds news links to similar stories. It's a plugin. I think it's called Scrabble. I'm probably fucking that up. Someone will send me that back in. I got it as a daily hack, and I don't like doing just Firefox stuff as daily hacks. But look into that. There is a really cool utility you can get from the Firefox site that, you know, you can link on a phrase or a story, and it'll show you how many other stories are reporting it. You cross that with, you know, the chaos theory news tracker stuff that I've linked on Daily Hacks before. Dude, you've got some powerful tools at your disposal. Now, in pharma fascism news from KTOG, listen to this one. Here's something you're not going to see on CNN anytime soon. Merck and Co.'s, great name for a pharmaceutical, Merck and Company's marketing team targeted doctors viewed as unfriendly towards Vios to bring them into the fold, neutralize, or discredit them. The plaintiff's lawyer in the nation's first Vioxx-related lawsuit to the trial alleged Tuesday. So what they're saying at trial is that Vioxx targeted any doctor who spoke out against the pharma fascist company. Houston litigator Mark Lanier questioned Nancy Stantanello, head of Merck's epidemiology department, about an internal list of 36 doctors identified as physicians to neutralize. Holy shit. Talk about a Shadowrun assassin list. In an email circulated 2 months after the popular painkiller went on the market in 1999. The same quote-unquote popular painkiller, because of massive advertising, was the one that's like killing people and stuff. Attached is the complete list of 36 physicians to neutralize, with a background information and recommended tactics. You will notice that some have already been neutralized, the email said. It also said a previous email had a subset of the 36 physicians. Quote, we would like to get involved with Merck Clinical Research, and the email recipients should be aware of our most challenging and most vocal national and regional physicians. So they got 36 physicians who are good and 36 physicians who are bad. Stantanello said the term neutralized was a marketing strategy to educate doctors about Vioxx. Yeah, that's not what the CIA uses it for. I'm not a marketing person. This is what this fucking broad says. Is it a broad? Who's the one saying this stuff? This is just bullshit. I cannot believe that. Ah, God, this makes me nuts. Anyway, I'm not a marketing person. When the marketing people do is ask a scientist to meet with the physician and explain the data to them, she told the jurors, oh, yeah, there's nothing dangerous here. It's only a multi-billion-dollar contract. The case is the first of more than 4,200 Vioxx-related state and federal lawsuits filed across the country to go before a jury, according to Merck. Federal lawsuits have been consolidated in New Orleans, where a federal judge said Tuesday that the first would go to trial in November. Merck's spokesman Ken Jarrell said the lawyers and the federal actions have yet to choose which suit will go to trial first. Other state cases are slated for a trial in South Texas, New Jersey in September. Now, I don't know about consolidating trials. Maybe they should just try each and every one individually, because isn't every single person's pain individual? Well, there's just too many people who are involved. Too many people are suing. There's been too much damage done. Great. Liquefy the company. Divide all the assets amongst the victims. Thanks for calling. In food news, this is from Phoenix. Scary shit. A pear is just a pear, except when it's laser-coated information delivery systems with advanced security clearance. This is some wild shit here. And that is what pears, not to mention organic apples, waxy cucumbers, delicate peaches, are becoming in some supermarkets around the company. A new technology is being used by produce distributors, employs a laser tattoo on fruits and vegetables with their names, identifying numbers, countries of origin, and information that helps speed distribution. The marks are burned onto outer layers of the skin and are visible to discerning consumers and befuddled cashiers alike. How long before advertising starts getting burned into apples? Wouldn't this apple go better with some peanut butter? Things like that. The process, government approved and called for safety by the industry, may sound sinister, but it was designed with the consumer in mind. Bull fucking shit. Laser coating could mean the end of those tiny, stubborn stickers that have to be picked, scraped, or yanked off produce. Well, yeah, but then it kind of encourages people to wash their produce, which they should anyway. sticker removal duty took Jane Lemox of Crocksville, Texas, half an hour one day last week. That's because Jean doesn't have any fingers. I was picking all the little stickers from the Piggly Wiggly off my plums and my avocados and my peaches, says Miss Lemieux, who's 76. Then I had to make a fruit salad out of the ones that got hurt when I took the stickers off. Then I had to wash the glue off the other ones before I put them in the fruit bowl. My God, what a fucking nightmare! One time, she said, I got up the next morning, looked in the mirror, and there were two of them in my hair. Oh my God, something must be done! The stickerless technology has a broader purpose, too. It's part of the produce industry's latest efforts to identify, track, whether profit or for security, everything Americans eat. Let me just read that again. The stickerless technology has a broader purpose, too. It is part of the produce industry's latest effort to track, to identify and track, whether for profit or security, for whatever fucking reason, everything Americans eat. Since 9/11, the industry has been encouraged to develop track and trace technology, allowing protection of the food supply at various stages of distribution. In addition, the next federal regulations will require all important produce to be labeled with the country of origin. Isn't that interesting? Well, this is bad on so many levels. On one side, you've got, you know, the organic industry totally tracking every single thing you put in your body and therefore can target you with marketing strategy. Number one. Number two, we've also got the ability to sell advertising space on our fruit. Because if you look, if it's just a laser burning off, it's just a matter of some code and some time to burn any kind of an ad for add-on sales to be added to the apples, thereby generating another revenue of income. And you think I'm the only one thinking of this? I don't think so. I kicked that up in just a couple of seconds after reading the story. So you can bank this is a great way to get the news out to all the advertisers that this is what they're going to be doing. Sick and weird. Now on to some augmented topography news. Props again to Dead Code. Paper maps can be brought to life using hardware that adds up-to-the-minute information, photography, and even video footage. This is very hot from a military standpoint. Researcher Tom Drummond, Gerhard Rimiv, and Gerhard Ethan at Cambridge University developed the system which augments an ordinary tabletop map with additional information by projecting it onto another map's surface. This is fucking hot. They believe it could be used to help emergency workers who have developed a simulation that projects live information about flooding in Cambridge on a local map. The system makes use of an overhead hamage, overhead camera, and image recognition software that connects a computer to identify the regions from a map's topographical features. So as you can imagine, you got augmented reality, you got overhead projectors, you got all this good shit happening real time on a topo map. We're getting pretty Star Wars with all this shit here. Now, I'm wondering how long it's going to be before, you know, all the uppity-ups and muckety-mucks are going to be able to watch wars happen in real time. How long before you'll be able to actually watch the tanks, little holograms of tanks that roll across the battlefield real time, be able to sit back, sip their coffee, and say, that's a kill. That's a kill. Wow, that looked great. That's a kill. That's a kill. In vaccination news from my brother Hammer. Deadly immunity. Now, this is just a brutal story here. And it was brought up by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is just a brutal story coming out. So please pay attention here. Deadly immunity was a story about the link between mercury and vaccines and the dramatic rise in autism among children. Any sort of a hint towards what David Icke said in the beginning of the show here? Sparked intense reaction from the medical establishment and several leading news organizations. The story, by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., was part of an ongoing collaboration with Salon.com, documenting the government's efforts to conceal alarming data about the dangers of vaccines. Now, I'm not a big fan of vaccines, me personally. I would rather just eat a healthy diet, eat lots of garlic, and then build up my body's own immune system. Getting bit by mosquitoes every now and again also doesn't hurt. What is most striking is the lengths of which major media outlets have gone to disparage the story and to calm public fears, which is weird because obviously they're all about the fear, even in the face of questionable science on the subject. In a segment on World News Tonight titled A Closer Look, ABC pointed out that Kennedy is not a scientist or a doctor, I don't know the fuck that means, and dismissed his extensive evidence as nothing more than a few scientific studies. What? The network also trotted out its medical editor, Dr. Timothy Johnson, to praise the impeccably impartial Institute of Medicine, and again to state that Kennedy is not a scientist. Well, who gives a fuck if he's got the data, and the data's good and it's true? Who gives a shit what he is? I don't care if he's the Pope. The New York Times, in a front-page story on the subject, devoted only one line to Kennedy's article, which said accused the public health officials and drug makers of conspiring to hide data on autism. Yeah, the reason why they do that is because they get sued through the fucking floor. A word that our story neither used nor implied. The Wall Street Journal, an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, this is just more and more. See how everyone's all on the same page here? In an opinion editorial piece, attacked the article. It was even more misleading. They used the word conspiracy four times. The Times went on for more than a full page to portray concerns over vaccines as nothing more than misguided fears of parents who suffer from scientific illiteracy. You're stupid. Do what we tell you. Unable to understand the medical studies that prove immunizations to be safe. You know what? It's not that hard to be able to read a medical report. Scientists. These great and powerful scientists, what they have is they have a lot of study they've digested and been able to spit back memorized data onto a page. There is nothing to prevent you from educating yourself to be able to read any scientific paper. Let me say that again. There is nothing to prevent you from educating yourself to a level where you can read any scientific paper. Okay? Do not allow yourself to be told that you're fucking stupid, because you're not. There's absolutely nothing you can read. You can read. You have the gift of being literate, something which is denied to large portions of the earth. So why not stop dumbing yourself down and get your brain up to speed so that you can read all this information for yourself? Trust no one. That's the level we're at right now. Maybe once we get through this and we have total transparency in government, we'll be able to do that. But up until that point, you better put your reading glasses on. Rolling Stone and Salon fact-checked the article thoroughly before publication, insisting on primary documentation for every statement in the story and posted links to the most significant materials online, enabling readers to judge for themselves. The final article contained six errors. These range from inadvertently transposing a quote and confusing a drug license for a patent, relying on a figure that incorrectly calculated infants' exposure to mercury over 6 months rather than citing an even more dangerous amount injected on a single day. The mistakes were corrected online as soon as they were discovered and can be viewed in detail at both Rolling Stone and Salon.com. Now, you know what I got to say here? I've got to say props off the top to Rolling Stone and Salon, because apparently they're the ones breaking the story and they're the only ones not on the same fucking page as everybody else. So at least you know who your enemy's enemy is. It's important to note, however, that none of the mistakes that were made in the Rolling Stone or Salon story weakened the primary point of the story. The government's own records show that it has failed to do the science necessary to put a reasonable concerns about the vaccines. If scientists had simply done their job rather than covering their tracks, there would be no controversy today. Instead, the government cannot even provide a definitive figure of the number of cases of autism among American children. Wow, a number obviously critical to any serious scientific investigation. Yet expects the public to believe it has ruled out any link between the vaccines and illnesses it does not even track. Well, doesn't that just make you feel better about getting a needle, eh? And in core political media news, this one was sent to me by Ingmar. Listen to this one. The media conglomerate controlled by Rupert Murdoch is buying the online company Intermix Media Incorporated, owner of the social networking site MySpace.com. So it bought Intermix Media and MySpace.com for $580 million in cash. Rupert Murdoch bought it, $580. The deal, announced Monday, is the first investment by a News Corp's newly formed internet business unit, Fox Interactive Media, which the company announced on Friday, as the core politicals move on to the blogosphere. At the same time it was being acquired by News Corp, Intermix is also buying another 47% of MySpace.com that it doesn't already own. MySpace is a networking site like Friendster that also allows users to share content such as music. It has become popular among musicians and bands. Some of you have used the site to introduce albums. Intermix came under fire from New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer, who accused the company of secretly installing Adware, software that delivers pop-ups advertising or similar promotions. Last month, the company reached a tentative agreement to pay $7.5 million over 3 years to settle the accusations. So, just in case you're wondering, MySpace.com is officially evil. Time to leave. If you have any space on MySpace.com, don't, you know, hate MySpace.com. Ignore MySpace.com. Because worse than hatred is indifference. Remember that. In booster news. Now, this is some fucked up shit here. Japanese researchers say they have identified the physical difference between people who get drunk easily and those who can hold their liquor. A discovery that can help refine the use of medicine or develop booze that will get you really fucking snapped. In a joint project, technology giant Hitachi and Osaka University said they have confirmed for the first time the different blood flow levels after a few drinks between people with different tolerances to alcohol. The study conducted on people willing to have a free drink for the cause of science showed that the blood flow to the part of the brain that controls visual function increases after people with low alcohol tolerance drank. But little change was observed in the same brain area with those with a higher tolerance. Inside the body, alcohol turns into acetaldehyde, which is known to cause hangovers. Acetaldehyde. Now that's quite the... I didn't know that. Those with high tolerances show active use of the enzyme ALDH2, which can turn acetaldehyde into a harmless acid, but people who get drunk easily show slower activity of ALDH2, making them susceptible to hangovers. So if you take this ALDH2, then you won't get a hangover. I wonder if this is nothing more than an ad to get us to buy more certain medications to escape these drunken hangovers. Better idea, smoke some weed. You won't be hungover the next day, and it does less damage to your body. Just a thought. Wow, imagine all the Japanese stone. That'd be a lot of sushi sales. Now, into RFID news. This one here is from Madar, my buddy Madar. Glad to see that you're still out there and sending, big guy. Tommy Thompson. Remember Tommy Thompson? He's a train engine? No, I'm kidding. Tommy Thompson was the guy who used to be in charge of Homeland Security, I believe. And he's the Health and Human Services Secretary and President... Oh, pardon me. He was the Health and Human Services Secretary in President Bush's first term, and the former governor of Wisconsin is going... This Tommy Thompson guy, okay, is going to allow himself to get a subdermal RFID chip. Thompson has just joined the board of Applied Digital, which owns VeriChip. Now, isn't that a little bit scary that... I don't like government people getting involved with corporations. The company that specializes in subcutaneous RFID tags for humans and pets. Applied Digital is the guys distributing the so-called Mark of the Beast. Okay? To help promote the concepts behind the technology, Thompson himself will get an RFID tag implanted under his skin. Look, kids, I can do it, so can you. Monkey see, monkey do, monkey teach. RFID tags have emerged as one of the more controversial technologies in years. Yeah, putting a fucking chip in my body is not up. Civil libertarians theorize that the chips will allow governments or corporations to track people's movements and behavior. It doesn't theorize. The chips will allow people to do that. Some Christians have said the chips are so evil they fulfill the biblical prophecy about satanic influences. Yeah, you know. And I'm not really going to be, you know, hanging out with... Like, I like Mudhut people. I think they're very, very cool. They can believe what they want, and they cook really well. And I think that, you know, they want to go to church and, you know, yell at the guy on the stick. I'll sing along with them. That's another thing. Let me get through this. Advocates of the chip, on the other hand... Like, who the fuck are the advocates? What, 30 people? Say that chips will contain personal information that will help medical professionals. Woo! And other people seek emergency treatment. The chip provides a form of identification that's tough to lose. I don't really have a problem losing my ID, so why do I need this? By clicking the number found on the chip into a password-restricted database, paramedics can get an accident victim's medical history in the field, which means that I can get anybody's medical history in the field, because if they're driving around in ambulances, that means they're doing it on broadcast technology, which means that all I gotta do is get the right hardware and I can get it too. One of the very chip scientists came up with the idea of using the company's pet RFID tags on people after watching rescue workers struggle to find the missing after the September 11th tragedy. Can you fucking believe that they've got the RFID chips? They got September 11th mentioned with RFID tags in an article talking about medical uses. Can you fucking believe this? Now, I'm not really down with the mud hut types. And granted, the Christians are off the hook for a little while for me, because all they did recently to piss me off was burn books and try to kill a few gay people and abortion doctors. Currently, my mud hut target of choice, and the Scientologists are happy about this, are the Islamo-fascist jihadist fucks. Okay, these nuts who are over there doing all this stuff, they're currently the major world concern, I think. Now, getting back to the Christians again, just like the guys in South Carolina there, if, you know, again, don't be afraid of them, because they're not bad people. You just got to be careful that these people can be manipulated. So it's kind of like, you don't be afraid. Christians are a lot like guns. Don't be afraid of the guns. The guns are just guns. Be afraid of the people who wield the guns. That's my stance on that. Now, incidentally, I also don't believe you should be disrespectful to any religion. You can bank. Now, that's funny for me calling mud hutters and all that stuff, but I'm on a news show where I'm giving an editorial. It's a little different in real life. Real life. I would never in a million fucking years rip apart a Christian's faith in front of them, because if you break it, you've got to fix it. Okay, you have a certain responsibility if you're going to decry someone's faith structure and their, you know, reality model. You've got to give them a replacement one if you happen to destroy them as a human being. Otherwise, you're just a prick. Okay, now, I believe that science is the answer. That's what I believe. But a lot of people aren't ready for that. A lot of people aren't ready to do that. So you know what? If you go to the house, bow your head in prayer. It's not going to hurt you. It's all a big fairy tale, so who gives a fuck? Right? If people are all bowing and scraping in a certain direction, if you don't want to do that, that's fine, but don't be disrespectful to them for it. And I want to make sure that's real clear. Except, unless, of course, they're Scientologists, which is a savage, vicious cult, and you can do what you want. But honestly, don't attack religious groups. Don't even attack the Scientologists, because, well, they're all crazy. Just some of them are more crazy than others. And never target the individual. It is the idea. It is the concept that is the enemy, not the person. The person is just a guy who failed his saving throw. Now, on to some cryptozoological news. A group of people in the Yukon community of Tellson say they saw a Sasquatch or a Bushman over the weekend. They're not too sure. It's the second reported sighting in the area in about a year. Nine people, some of them children, say a large human-like figure covered with hair passed by a window of their house. They later saw it standing behind an abandoned car near some houses in the community, which is 180 kilometers east of Whitehorse. Chukka Chukahudamat and Trent Smarch are two of the people who believe they saw the Sasquatch. The men said they heard trees snapping and creaking, even though there was no wind at the time. The figure they saw was nearly 3 meters tall and moving fast, they said. Too fast for them to keep up, even when they were running. Yeah, which is, you know, hey, let's catch the Sasquatch! Yeah, I'm not going to run after a 9-foot, you know, flesh golem. Thanks much. The creature left behind some evidence. Interesting. The man said, a footprint, big deal, twice the size of a human's. Nothing new there. But there's a small patch of hair that was found in the area that has been sent to a conservation officer in Whitehorse. Now, that hair, it would be interesting to get a DNA sample on, because we'd like to know what exactly that is. And an update on Star in the Jar technology. Researchers at Purdue University have new evidence to support earlier findings by other scientists who design an inexpensive tabletop device that uses sound waves to produce nuclear fusion reactions. The technology could, in theory, lead to a new source of clean energy and a host of portable detectors and other applications. Interesting stuff here. Seems that Star in a Jar isn't really going away, and you'll notice how the original guy who found Star in a Jar is not getting a lot of press anymore. The new findings were detailed in a peer-reviewed paper appearing in the May issue of the Journal of Nuclear Engineering and Design. Wow, this is the same guy, I think it was in England or Russia. Who the fuck was it now? I did it in a previous show, but he was the guy. I've been covering Star in the Jar since day one. And the Star in the Jar dude, you know, he stood up there. He was the guy who came out and said, this works. I did the data. You take a look at it. And said, no, it's fake. And now it's like, no, it's not fake. No, if we just change it a little bit. Now it's our invention and we made it. The paper was written by Yibu Zhu, a postdoctorate researcher with the School of Nuclear Engineering. But Adam Butt, a graduate research assistant in both nuclear engineering at the School of Aeronautics and Astronautics. The key components of the experiment was a glass test changer about the size of two coffee mugs filled with a liquid called deuteriated acetone, which contains a form of hydrogen known as deuterium, or heavy hydrogen. This is the same experiment done time and time and time again, and now it works, it doesn't work. It works, it doesn't work. It works, it doesn't work. Will you cut out the disinformation, and will you just tell me what the hell is actually going on, please? That would be great. Now, your daily hack today is one that we can all know and love and use, and that would be bypassing DVD protection. So you have a nice DVD collection and you want to know it's a good practice to always back up the data you have? Well, both the DVDs and the internet backup are good, but copy protection on DVDs can be a problem. For example, CSS, or content scrambling system, is pretty much on every Hollywood DVD you possess. With CSS present, DVD copying software doesn't work unless it has a built-in ripper, which most don't for legal reasons. This guide will take a quick run through some of the software that is used to free your DVD from these anti-fair use copy protections, but it is important that you check your law in your country first, as circumvention of copy protection is illegal in a lot of places. And after all, we're only talking about this for backup purposes, and no time should we ever give anyone any free information. Every single child should pay money to watch a movie. Absolutely. Never, ever share anything with anyone, ever. What the fuck? And a special note today. Now, this is a bit of a story here. Everyone who knows, if you go to my live journal, click on a special note link about the guys at Endo Studios. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. There's a lot of people who need help, and there's a lot of people who do stuff, but usually I find that the people who want help, who are really, really worthy, quite often they don't even ask for it. So I'm going to give a little speech here. Endo is a fantastic studio. They got a great business plan. They're looking for investors and stuff like that. The guy's been fighting. This was the same studio where I did the Sean Kennedy show. The guy let me shoot in his studio for free, set up a full camera crew for me for free because he believes in free media. He believes in internet media. Nathan Klein is the guy who runs the whole thing. He's been featured in a bunch of news stories and stuff like that. And the other day, he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, Sean, you know what? I really agree with what you're doing." Now, this is right after his doors have been shut for a week there because he was having problems making rent. But don't worry. I mean, he's got some people online. Apparently, Bruce Allen's talking to this guy. He's not a small player. He's a major player. But if there's anyone out there somewhere in the world who wants to go by and just talk to this dude, do whatever. Maybe you know some investors or something. I don't know. Because the guy showed up at my house and gave me a TELUS One phone module and a compressor limiter gate, RP252. Now, I don't even, made by Rolls. I don't even know what these fucking things are. They're rack-mounted stuff. And he explains it all to me so that now I've got the same tech that radio stations use for doing phone interviews. I've got it set up. It's sitting in a pile. I'm looking at it right now. But now I have the ability to add a really high quality, no more speakerphones and microphones. I'm talking about getting an actual line-in setup so I can start doing phone interviews with $1,000 piece of tech. I don't even know what the compressor limiter gate's worth. And he just goes, "Here you go, man. I believe in what you're doing," when this guy himself has barely got food to put in his own mouth. Now, that's a way to wog the fuck out. That's some heavy shit, and that's talking about it not just being about you. So you know what? You know what? I don't know if anybody can help, and I don't even know what to do, but I'm going to throw this out to server. Go check out Endo. Send the guy some information. Maybe somebody somewhere can help us so that we all can move forwards, and the freedom of art and expression can move forwards as well. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the news and information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Forley, WebLife, Alan, Druid Y. Simaru, Drake, Jesse, Robert, Grey Ghost, Art, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noog, Joseph, Kevin, Joseph, Jesse, Derek, Desert Runner, Eric, Michael, Dennis, C4, Steve, Jesse, Brandon, Matthew, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Jason, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Palmer, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Host Mojo, Peter, Charles, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Mainframe, Burger No Fries, Innominate, Matt, Jennifer, Matthew, Charles, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, Brandon, and Michael. New subscribers of the month of June were Alex, Jerry, Cameron, and Brenley. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Getting lots of feedback from people who say they're loving the books, less than 100 left. Thank you so much. If you've read the book, The Bloodstained Rabbit, and you want to comment on it on the next, if we do another run, I'd like to have like peer reviews. So this buddy from Iowa, make sure you include your real name and your real location and city so that I can use them as book reviews in the next printing. That would be fantastic. Thank you very much. And that's everything I've got for you today. And thanks to everyone in gathering their data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of their pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up the album by Aria called Debris. I think it was her debut album, actually. I'm going to leave you now with an uncut mix of psychoactive drugs from the Emergency Broadcast Network. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
This is a test. This is only a test. This is a test of the Emergency Broadcast Network. In voluntary cooperation with local, state, and federal authorities, the Emergency Broadcast Network has developed this program to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this is an actual emergency, the attention signal you now hear will immediately be followed by official information, news, or entertainment. Warning. The following program contains material which may be unsuitable for some viewers. The unintended or unauthorized reproduction, sale, or distribution of this product is strictly prohibited. Failure to obey these laws may result in fines or imprisonment. Emergency Broadcast Network is not responsible for any of the views or opinions which are expressed in the following program, and any similarity of persons portrayed to any actual persons living or dead is purely incidental. Viewing of this videotape is not recommended for any persons who may be subject to the following conditions: dizziness, nausea, confusion, or drowsiness caused by stroboscopic or other types of rapidly flashing light, sleeplessness, agitation, or aggression caused by the continuous viewing of television for abnormally long periods of time, disorientation, panic, or memory loss caused by the involuntary reception of large quantities of simultaneous external stimuli, or any other type of abnormal physiological behavior which can be triggered by unexpected atmospheric or electrical field anomalies. Emergency Broadcast Network recommends that in the event of accidental ingestion of excessive portions of this product, notify authorities immediately.
Psychoactive drugs.